That's it. I mean, I still, a lot of people look at the work that we do and they think it's great. And then they go, well, how do I get to that level? Then I'm asking the same question to other people. There is never a point where you go, yeah, my work is great. Or like, yeah, that is just like what I do. That's just like, I'm just an amazing designer. If you get to that point, then it's a shame because you probably won't. You won't get any more clients. Your work probably will start to suck because you're not like empathizing and challenging yourself. It's just like being a detective. You need to be invested into the projects that you're in and always question yourself and the abilities that you have to really push yourself along. So, if any young designer out there, and I don't mean young by age, but in time and experience, is wondering, when will I ever feel like I've made it? You won't. There's always something to stop you feeling that, which is how you ground yourself. So.
Welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast, brought to you by Aventive Academy. I'm your host, Katie Sandell. I'm a brand strategist, designer, creative director, and the CEO of a successful six-figure design agency based in Austin, Texas, serving clients worldwide. After mastering the art of building a profitable and sustainable design business, I decided to help you achieve the same success. I teach brand, graphic, and web design business owners how to attract more clients, increase their pricing, and develop design businesses that provide the financial freedom and time flexibility you've always dreamt of. We offer online programs, courses, and templates that you can use, along with our coaching, accelerator, and mastermind high-touch experiences for creatives. You can learn more about starting and growing your design business at AventiveAcademy.com. But for now, grab a cup of coffee and join me in today's podcast episode. Welcome, welcome. So today we have a special guest on the Profitable Graphic Designer podcast. Will Patterson is a graphic designer and content creator who specializes in logo design, hand lettering, and brand identity. He's a design agency owner as well, and he has worked with well-known brands such as Adobe, Instagram, and Skillshare. He has a lot of subscribers on YouTube, and the last time I checked, it was 851,000 subscribers, which is amazing. And on his YouTube channel, he shares his knowledge and experience to really help designers level up their design skills. So that was kind of like me introducing him, but I would actually love to hear, well, how would you introduce yourself? So tell us who you are and what you do. And again, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. I would introduce myself as just I'm Will Patterson. I'm a graphic designer. We work for all types of clients, big and small, from the coffee shop to large enterprises. And I make videos and tutorials to help people in their creative journey. That's how I would introduce myself anyway.
Perfect. I love that.
It's hard. It's hard to know what to say.
I know, that's how I am as well. Can you tell us about your journey as a content creator and how you initially started building your online presence?
Sure. When I didn't do well at school, I essentially didn't, I don't know, do well in the exams. The exams didn't really do well for me, so I didn't do them. And I got no GCSEs, which is like the equivalent of other high school tests. So I thought, you know, I want to study business somehow. So I went to this technology college, not a university, but like just after school, extra learning. And I was just being taught how to, you know, be a secretary, nothing wrong with that. But I thought that I was going to learn how to start a business. And that's not how it happened at all. So I, long story short, I wanted to do design, something creative and be, you know, a businessman. So I decided I'm going to learn graphic design and do freelance design work because all I need is a computer and I just need to get good at design. So I spent the next 3 years learning, and I did that whilst also posting on YouTube things that I learned. So tutorials in Photoshop and different programs. If I couldn't find what I was looking for to learn, like an effect, I would then work out how to do that and then put it on YouTube. And people kind of liked that, so they subscribed. And since then, that was about 11 years ago, I've evolved it into more of like a massive day in the life kind of, you know, this is what I do. And I talk about very nuanced subjects on design. I critique people. I sometimes hire people and then critique their work, which sounds awful, but it's fun. When everyone learns something. And yeah, it's just basically a big sounding board for what I want to talk about.
Yeah, I love that. Yes, I saw one of your videos where you hired like 5 different designers, either on Upwork or Fiverr or one of the freelancing platforms. Yeah. And then you got 5 completely different logo designs. And then you did kind of like a quick critique, like basically analyzing their designs. So, and that was really fun. And I'm sure you get a lot of feedback that people love that.
Yeah, so, well, it's very dividing. Some graphic designers hate Fiverr. They think, you know, it discourages creativity. They believe that it replaces wages, you know, that people don't get paid fairly. And some people rightfully have had their work stolen and been used on Fiverr. So it's kind of a touchy subject for a lot of graphic designers. But I guess the aim of these Fiverr videos isn't, it's not just purely entertainment. It's more of a, I always want to try and encourage those on Fiverr to charge more and to do better. If they haven't done well, I want to show the people in the world what Fiverr has to offer. And there is a lot of people in the world that will use Fiverr, but there's also a lot of people in the world that won't. And they'll go to like more established professional graphic designers. So
yeah, definitely. Okay, so growing like a basically a substantial following is a goal for many designers and like creatives in general, especially now, you know, we have Reels, we have TikTok, YouTube. So like what the strategies or tactics did you find most effective in growing your, let's say, YouTube subscribers and maybe Instagram followers?
Effective. That's a difficult question. Social media is kind of just like beating your head off a brick wall sometimes, because you have to be everything to everyone, or it seems that way, should I say. Social media is kind of, it's difficult, the strategy. I think our number one thing that we want to be is useful for every creative out there, whether you're a graphic designer, whether you're a fine art, graphic artist, whatever. We want to create content that people will find useful. So you've probably heard it before, but value is a big one. Just giving people value on social media is a huge one. There's a lot that people don't teach that could be taught online. And I think, you know, you don't need a university education. You don't need a degree in graphic design or visual communication, because some of the best graphic designers out there have no degree at all, and it's been through experience and a lot of failing and a lot of and a little bit of success. So yeah, I think strategy wise it's difficult, other than just being, trying your best to be yourself and then giving people content that helps them on their journey.
Yeah, well, let me just add to that, that I did finish the Academy of Arts. And right after that, I still don't think I was a good designer. I didn't know how to get clients. So I think that, you know, even though I finished like the whole college of 4 years, I don't think it was as helpful as if I was to complete maybe some online courses and start working with clients directly. So I personally feel that, not that I completely wasted those 4 years, but kind of, because after that, I was on the first year and I was like, okay, I have no, like, I don't know anything about freelancing, building a business, even like designing logos, because it's totally different when you work for a client versus when you do something for yourself, you know, and at the Academy, We would get like tasks, you get a brief, but you can do whatever you want and you don't really have a client.
Exactly. Yeah. I think a lot of people believe graphic design to be a very difficult thing to do, like a very difficult profession, or even like logo design. It's one of the easiest professions ever. The hard part about it is the communication, is the ability to sell your work. That's why a lot of design agencies are marketing agencies, you know, because they market and they know how to sell an idea to someone. Some of the best designers in the world are all in-house, or even product designers. You know, engineers are quite similar to designers. However, the difference between being an engineer and a designer is an engineer needs to like study physics and things and go to university and have that degree. But with design, although going to university gives you the theory and it may show you how to, let's say, drive a car, you can learn how to drive a car, but then until you've been on the road by yourself for a few years, you increase that skill set. It just gives you the experience and time that you have, gives you the credibility with clients, and also the, I don't know how to say it, but essentially makes you a better designer or artist as you go. So.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, when I started working with clients at first, I was not good at all. Like when I look into the logos I designed at that time, I'm like, why did you even pay for that? I mean, I charged I charged like $65 at a time, which I think was probably the value of logos I provided at that time. Yeah. So, but if you'll learn, and you know, there are many designers who think they're not good enough, and that is totally fine. And it's just, you will improve over time anyway. So it's just a matter of like you building that confidence and charging more and being able to land the clients.
That's it. I mean, a lot of people look at the work that we do and they think it's great. And then they go, well, how do I get to that level? Then I'm asking the same question to other people. There is never a point where you go, yeah, my work is great.
Exactly.
Or like, yeah, that is just like what I do. That's just like, I'm just an amazing designer. If you get to that point, then it's a shame because you probably won't, you won't get any more clients. Your work probably will start to suck because you're not like empathizing and challenging yourself. It's just like being a detective. You need to be invested into the projects that you're in and always question yourself and the abilities that you have to really push yourself along. So if any young designer out there, and I don't mean young by age, but in time and experience, is wondering, when will I ever feel like I've made it? You won't. There's always something to stop you feeling that, which is how you ground yourself. So,
yeah, definitely. And there's always something new to learn, and we will always, you know, keep learning and improving. So you mentioned that creating content is now a part of your life, part of your work. So what would you say, how much time do you spend creating content? And the other question that I have around content is like, what types of content have resonated the most with your audience? And also as a designer, who is your audience, like potential clients or other designers?
That was more like three questions in one. Okay. So
who's your target audience, designers or clients?
Yeah, to target audience, both. So YouTube is a big marketing tool, but it helps people. So it shows what I know and how I do things, which is what every designer should do, is show what they know and how they do it to a wide audience in an accessible and free way. So designers learn something from my process, I think, and they learn some of the nuances of subsets of design, like type design, which is what I'm obsessed with. And they learn little interesting things to help them along their journey. Maybe it's a bit more novelty. And clients, it gives them credibility. Well, it gives me credibility to work with them. So they, having an audience and a number is a vanity, but showing your skills with like over with nearly 1,000 videos of me talking about the profession can show like a wide array of knowledge, vast knowledge and a kind of a larger vocabulary with design. So clients will be not just meeting me like on camera, but they're learning about what I do and they might resonate with something that I've said. and they're more likely to work with me. So it's like a marketing platform. With designers, on the other hand, my content is surrounded and intended for graphic designers to learn, because if I've learned something, I want them to know it as well. Even if that like creates competition, I don't care. I have different like ways of, you know, working where I don't believe there really is anyone who can compete with you as a person. People will want to work with you for you being you, not just your skill set. So I hope that answers the first question.
Yes. So I think that the first question, because we answered the second and the third. So basically, it was, you mentioned how creating content is now part of your business, part of your life. Mm-hmm. So can you explain more about like, how do you integrate that into your business when you already have clients? How do you find the time and how does that process go?
Yeah, we do work quite hard on it. There's no such thing as free time. I think a lot of people try to, I've had it a lot before on YouTube in comments and people saying those who can't do teach. It's that famous saying, you know, university professors, you know, they can't do it, so they teach it sort of thing. That's not the case with us. So the way that we structure our sort of days and weeks, we have a team of people that help and work on the videos. So my involvement in the videos is top level involvement on strategizing with the team what video we're going to do. And that's based on data that the audience has allowed me to see, such as like what they're watching, questions in the comments, and just videos that I find interesting that I believe my audience would as a designer. I will record the video, record some of the B-roll, and then we have a team member, Matthias, who will edit that and all the reels. Any video content you see goes through Matthias, and that's how it gets out. So I just have to record it, essentially, strategize and record it. And still, that does take time, because like, as the channel's grown, the types of videos that we do getting ever more ambitious in time. So we try and really squeeze out the amount. And then the rest of it is done on like client calls, presenting work, because obviously we're an agency as well. So I used to be a freelance designer. Now we have designers who work with us on projects. We work together for brand identities, and I direct them on a day-to-day basis of what we're working on. And then I'll also head up the presentation of those in the hopes that they will accept the work and be happy with it. So, and then everything else is done by my wife. So wife is also our real boss. She's called Naomi. She's amazing. She will talk to the clients. I don't talk to them prior. We have like a separation from them. So before we start working together, I won't really be involved in negotiating or contract signing. Naomi will have the schedule of clients that we have coming in and deadlines. So she will negotiate, sign the papers, and when they're ready, I'll meet with them, and that's where it's handed off to me. And then, yeah, so that's how it works. It runs like a nice engine, like a nice system where everyone who is good at what they do are doing it.
Yeah, I was just about to say that you basically have a full support system. And how many people do you have on your team? And I'm assuming it hasn't been always like that. You started on your own, right?
Yeah, so we technically got 5 people on our team who work with us. So it started off as me obviously being a freelancer, and I woke up realizing that obviously we've hired someone, so technically we're an agency. The first person we hired was a video editor. That was important to have because I realized I couldn't do the amount of work that I was doing as a designer and video editor. They were taking too long. Technically, the first person who I hired, which I didn't really, it was my wife, but she came along board before that. And while she was working in her old job, she would help me with like emails and administrative things. So it was me and Naomi for a few years. It was me by myself for a long time. And then recently, we've started adding more people to the team to not expand, but to strengthen what we already do with the opportunities that we have to expand. The amount of client work we get now is quite different. So we're able to take on more client work, make ourselves more accessible to people, and keep it going. So yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's a very similar story to mine. I also started by myself, and then I quickly realized, well, I need someone who's going to write my blogs because English is my second language. I'm originally from Serbia. I live here in the States. But at that time, English wasn't my... It wasn't that good. So I quickly realized that SEO is where people are finding me and people love the content on my website, but I wasn't good of a writer. So I had to hire someone. And that's when I realized, oh my God, I'm getting my time back. I love this. So now as soon as I get a lead or something, I'm like, who do I give that to?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that makes sense. That's what needs to happen. You need a support system around you to allow you to do what you're good at.
Exactly. And many listeners are now thinking, but aren't you the one designing everything? Like, aren't you a designer? Don't you miss designing when you outsource that part?
Not really, because we don't technically outsource it. It's we employ people, so it's I'm still involved in the top level. My actual job role is called creative director. That's what was given to me as part of like what we do. So I direct people where to be creative and what to do. So for instance, if we have like a client project with deliverables, I will give my vision. So my job is to be the filter between the client and the designers. And a lot of people would say, oh, well, he's just like telling them what to do. And that's not the case either. A lot of the designs that we bring in have a skill set that's specialized. So it's not exactly, we won't hire someone based just on like merit of skill, but we'll hire them on attitude. And if they're particularly good at something, like for instance, we have a wonderful woman called Sam, who is from, I think it's Pennsylvania. I'm probably going to get that wrong again. I don't know where she's from, America somewhere. And we hire her full time and she is amazing at illustration, like at fine art illustration as well as design. So we use, as a team, I will do the logo types and the lettering things, and Sam will do the illustrations because that's her strength, and we work together that way.
Yeah, I love that. It's very important to have that support system so that you can actually support your clients in the best possible way. Okay, so many of our listeners here are business owners in the design field, mostly like logo designers, brand designers. How can they leverage content creation to attract better clients, like maybe increase their rates and grow their business overall? What would you say?
Good question. Yeah, I think everyone falls into the trap of trying to be different online. Different doesn't mean good. Like there's two different things. There's being good and there's being original. Like original doesn't mean good things all the time. So I see a lot of Instagram content out there now that really puts people off, like the client process. Maybe they're teaching about numbers. If you're trying to get clients, you don't teach about how to grow your business. You teach about the intricacies of design and why you're needed. So if you're to be on Instagram and you want to make a post about something and it's just a carousel and you're talking about, like, I don't know, how you've grown your business, clients don't care. They want to see results. They want to see your attitude and the way that you carry yourself in the field. That's what will inspire them, because at the end of the day, the clients don't come for you just for your skill set. They come for you for your attitude and your mind. They're buying your brain, your experience and your taste. And as a designer, you have to have good taste that can sort of evolve over time. So for anyone who's creating content, obviously you can find a niche if you want. You can find a specific thing that you like to do. But just keep your options open to like helping other people in the design industry instead of trying to overtly get clients, like in the content, you know. A lot of people do this pointing thing now on Instagram, and I've done it once. And I remember telling Matthias, who's a video editor, everyone's like sort of sat and they're like pointing like that, like how did I make this sort of thing? And that doesn't tell clients anything about you. That's just showing the work. But clients want to know about you because they want to trust what you say, because otherwise it becomes subjective. But your work is objective. Like good design is objective.
Definitely. And I've seen many designers being stuck in content creation because they feel that they have to post their work only. You know, as creatives, we're like, oh, I want to show you my logos. I want to show the typography I created or picked, or, you know, versus there's so much opportunity in education. And that is what I say to designers all the time. If you don't have new designs, you didn't have clients for 2 weeks or a month, you don't have anything to show. Educate them. Mm. Talk about brand strategy. Talk about why logos are important on packaging and how they, like, I don't know, like, you know, just like educate.
Totally.
It doesn't have to be as creative. Even though education can be super creative as well.
Of course it can.
Before we continue with this podcast episode, I just want to quickly remind you that if you're a design business owner whose dream is to have a successful and profitable career so you can enjoy the freedom and flexibility that comes with it, then I have something for you. The Profitable Designer Program is my signature 12-week system that will help you improve your business, sign amazing, high-paying clients, and truly achieve your financial and lifestyle goals. Visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit to check if you can join us now or if we are currently not accepting more designers into the program. In that case, you will be able to join the waitlist and be the first to know when we open the doors again. Now, we'll go back to the episode in a second, but I just want to add that designers who completed the program were able to sign five-figure design clients, 10 times their pricing, reach six figures and beyond, make $20,000 per month while working only a few hours a week, and more. So if you want to be my next success story and achieve results like these, visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit. Now, let's go back to the episode.
Like, we've had this problem this year. I mean, most of the clients that we're working with now, what tends to happen is, and I didn't realize this until the end of 2023, where we didn't really have any work to show people. Like, we normally do a video, which is called Client Rewind, where we rewind on some of the projects that we're allowed to show and how we did it. And I realized we don't really have the ability to do that because we've signed NDAs and a lot of the work that we've done for like very influential people is not allowed to be shown yet. Or I'm not allowed to say that I've done it because that's the agreement. So what do we do there? And that's where a lot of people would say, well, those who can't do teach. He just teaches on YouTube to make money. But that's not the case. We far exceed. YouTube is like very, like it takes 50% of the time, but it doesn't like generate the income like client work does. You know, it's completely different. So this year we've been like focusing on everyone else's work. People are sick of just seeing your work. They know you can do it. Focus on other people's work. Focus on what you can do to be creative. Help them. Build each other up. There's no such thing as competition in this industry. It's all about completion, completing each other in what you can bring to the table. Might be completely different from someone else. So that's the way you've got to sort of see it. It's a mindset thing, really.
Yeah, definitely. So far we talked all about like the business side of being creative, but let's talk about designs a little bit. And we started kind of, can you walk us through like your creative process, like when working, let's say on a logo design project, like from initial concepts to the final product? And I know that you mentioned that now you have designers who work with you, but how does that process go? So get a client, what's the next step?
Yeah, we'll meet with them. And we'll do a little workshop. It's basically a chat. And I'll use Fig Jam for that, like a whiteboard. And I'll essentially just quiz them. I act like a detective. So the way that I see the client work that we do all the time is they want to translate something to us. And we've got to be good translators. And we've got to sort of walk the tightrope. There's like a balancing act that we've got to play.
Is it like a kind of like a brand strategy?
Yeah, essentially a brand strategy thing. We do it with all our clients because I don't personally, it might be a hot take, but I don't believe it to be that difficult to do with clients. It's just a question answer. And I don't want to charge them for that. So if we're doing logos and stuff, it will work better on my end if we do a brand strategy because it further narrows the target. So then we get a more refined look at the brand itself. So we workshop with them, and the next stage is mood boarding, where we will mood board together. We'll might create a couple of like bad sketches, come together with the designers. So most of the time it's me and Sam will come together, decide a direction, and then I will give three directions. And we'll try and create three after the initial sketches, actually. I've skipped a step there, but we'll create loads of like little sketches and we'll have an idea. We'll have three ideas that we like, and they're normally vastly different. And a lot of people don't like this because people think there is only one way to solve one problem. But in graphic design, there are many ways to solve one problem. But we don't like to hear that because it means it's ambiguity and, you know, people get a bit scared of that. But there are many ways to design a logo for one company. So we generate three that are wildly different on two different spectrums. And we'll present them as concepts and directions during the presentation. The presentation, we spend more time on our presentations than the actual logo design by a lot. The logo design normally gets, we normally have an idea and execute upon it, and that's it. And then we'll spend the rest of the time presenting. Yeah. And that's the biggest skill that people miss.
Yeah, exactly. Because then when you present your logo on a white background, kind of like on a piece of paper, and send that to the client, most of the time you're going to hear no. Because as creatives, we can imagine how that logo is going to look like in 3D, in real world, but the clients can't really, you know, picture that.
But they can't. And that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people will just send a PDF package to them. And no, if ever anyone does that, I don't mind. But like your chances of them understanding your work is like minimal. The way that we do it is we need to show them the gravity of what we've done. We need to back up our work with showing time. So what we will do is we'll actually take process shots. So throughout the process, if I'm doing any work, we'll take overhead shots. Like what you see in the videos, we'll actually take overhead shots and images of the drawing aspect. That's uncovering a mystery for the client. The client doesn't really care about the end result. They care about how much time you've put into that result. And a lot of people talk about value. You dictate the value to the client by the amount of work that you put in. The only way the client can know the value is to show how much work you put in and package it well. It's just like an energy drink or anything you buy off the store. It could be the best energy drink in the world, but if it's not packaged correctly, and that includes the logo, if it's not packaged correctly and it's not showing the truth of what you've done, whether that's sketching, whether that's mood boarding, and showing it in an easy to understand, no pressure presentation, then the client will say no, not because the design is bad, but because they don't trust you. They think that you've just gone to Fiverr, or they'll think that you've used AI, but you need to prove that to them, that you've done the work. So most of the work should be done on making it as easy and as accessible as possible to show the client your work.
Yeah, definitely. So you send them then a full presentation that I'm assuming it includes like 3D mockups, how their logo is going to look like in real world, or what does the presentation include?
So a lot of the time the work is very rough. It's actually just drawings that we show, and we'll always be on a camera like this, a face to face. I will never send them an email about it. The problem with sending an email is that you're allowing them to respond. You don't want them to respond. It's like these features where you can like send off your work and they can comment on it. And that is the worst thing ever, because they're going to nitpick. They're going to find something. Like, you will find a problem with every piece of work that I've done. And they will find it, and they're very good at it because they're spending like a hell of a lot of money on it. So the way that we do it is we present to them, not with like, it's never the same. There's never a framework. We have a course called Logo Launch where I talk about it, but it's never really the same. It's the skill behind the camera that, like me talking now, I'm used to being behind cameras and talking to different folk such as yourself. It's the way that you carry yourself. It's whether you truly believe in what you've done. If I show a mock-up, I might show a mock-up if it helps. If it helps the client see it in a mock-up, I will show it in a mock-up. If it helps seeing it in a grid, I will show them that. But there's no hard and fast rules. It's all about understanding the client very kind of intimately in a weird way, understanding what their hopes and dreams are for this. What do they expect? And also, one big thing, repeat the language back. If they say, I want a strong icon, and you say, I've created a bold icon, that is like completely different to the client. They have no idea that you've actually met the objective. So you need to tell them that you've created a strong icon and repeat that phrasing. The phrasing that they use is learn their language, learn their body language, get good at empathizing with people, and you can really serve them. And if you come across not as a product, logo design is not a product, it is a service that we create, which a lot of people would argue with that, which is fine. But I would say logo design and brand identity is a service that we have. And by that, they will enjoy the work and they won't have the chance to really nitpick. They will see the overall image and they will trust you that you will fix it if there is a problem.
Yeah, and I love everything you're talking about, because every business owner can run their own design agency in a different way. So for example, you believe in three concepts, someone else believe in one concept. You believe in this, they believe in that. And it's totally fine. Everybody is different and everyone's process is different. And that's why we go back to your point, there is no competition.
There is no competition, no, because everyone does it different. And like, it's like saying, does everyone have to, you know, wash the dishes in the same way? No, people like might want to like rinse them before they put them in the dishwasher. This is a terrible analogy, I know, but like there's many ways to achieve one thing. And I understand why people try to mimic those who do it well, because it's like a surefire way of doing it well. But there's one thing people can't mimic about myself, and that's how I present the work. And that's why there's no competition. We just need to complete each other. You can't compete because everyone's good at different things. Like, it's crazy.
Definitely. So from what I've seen online, your focus is on logotypes, and many designers struggle with like finding their unique style. Do you believe that the graphic designer needs to have their unique style and a niche, or not so much?
I'm the opposite. I don't believe there is. As soon as you've got a style, you've limited yourself. It's like saying you're a pop singer forever. You can get into the top 10s, you know, that's fine. There's always going to be something that's more popular. But if you look at my work, you'll notice there is no real pattern of style. They can be quite drastically different. The reason why is it's kind of a biblical quote, being a Christian. It's becoming all things to all people. And I don't believe having a style necessarily helps in graphic design, but I think it helps in graphic art. So being a graphic artist or an artist, people will come to you for your style. But for graphic design, it's inherently a business and a problem-solving exercise. And if you have a specific style, that exercise doesn't work because you've limited the way that you can solve the problems. So if you create like cartoons, mascots from the 1940s for a crazy large corporate company like Huawei, they won't like that because that doesn't fit with their style. So instead of you having a style, it should be all based around what does this client have as a style? That's what we do. We create styles for people, and people might get mixed messages about what I'm saying because I do have a style of hand lettering, but that is because everyone has a style in their handwriting. But the problem for graphic design is that as soon as you limit yourself to one style or to having a style and you think that's going to, you know, change the game for you, it might completely change the game. People might find that your hand-drawn style is really popular. But then in 10 years time, and I've been doing this for just over a decade now, they will hate it. So what do you do then for the next 40 years that you're doing this? Well, what are you going to do? So you've always got to, instead of finding a style for yourself, switch your brain to, this is just what I say. I mean, take it with a pinch of salt. This is just a hot take opinion. Switch your brain from your style to how are you going to create their style?
Yeah, and when it comes to a niche, do you have a specific niche, like who you work with, or you would accept anyone and anyone who eventually can afford you and you would like to work with?
Well, we don't have a niche particularly. Recently, it's been a lot of finance companies. So people in finance and those who have similar interests in good typography. So my personal, I don't call it a niche. I've started calling it a specialization because I think the term niche is very overused. We're always told to niche down and it doesn't work. It's worked a couple of times for a couple of agencies. But you don't look at like Pentagram, you don't look at other huge design agencies and identify a niche. No, like their only niche is big clients. That's the, if you were to have one. A specialization is more like logo type design because a specialization is essentially articulating that you are not saying no, you are just highly focused on one thing. But a niche is saying no, that you won't work on anything else but this. So like if you are specialized, you can charge more, not because you're saying no to other things, but because you have a vast knowledge in one area that requires more like compensation because you know more than most. So for instance, logo type design, you are able to like charge a hell of a lot more for that than you are for abstract logo icons if that is not your specialization. So it's kind of like not niching, but specializing, knowing as much as you can and then saying, yep, this is what I'm laser focused into, but I still understand the rest. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, I love that. And I know that you've helped over 8,900 designers based on your stats on the website, which is now probably even more, everything logo design related. Like, can you tell us more about your course, Logo Launch, and like, who is it for, what people can learn from it, and so on?
Sure. It's Logo Launch is technically for everyone. However, it's what I would call like the best logo type design course on the planet, because there's not many, but don't let that fool you. Essentially, I saw a big problem with graphic designers. They were becoming irrelevant. And I'm not saying this is some marketing spiel. This is like generally true. A lot of graphic designers, freelancers, becoming irrelevant because they were doing abstract icons and they were using fonts and they were a slave to the font system where you had to pay an exorbitant amount for like very good fonts. And that isn't good. That means that you're a slave to something. So logo type design started from me doing hand lettering. I used to love doing murals, drawing letters because I couldn't afford fonts back then. And it slowly matured into logo type design where companies would ask for logos, but with custom lettering. And because of that specialization, I was able to like charge a lot more for what we do, because not many other people can do it. Hence why I did this course called Logo Launch, which takes you through a real client project that we worked in for, in fact, another creative agency, which just, it proves the point again, it was another branding agency. We designed a logotype for them and I show you my entire process from the little things that people don't, that I didn't think mattered, but they do. So I show you every single step of the way and how to present the work and how to essentially make more money as a graphic designer, how to be a bit different, stay relevant as a designer through your own skills and everything else. So that is Logo Launch.
I love that. And can you tell us where can people find that course?
Sure. You go to logo-launch.com and you'll see it. There's lovely clouds and it's a very pretty landing page. But if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. We're always here to help.
Yeah. And I'm going to include the link in the show notes. Well, thank you so much for being here with me, Will. And I, as mentioned, I will include the links to your logo course and also to your website, your YouTube in the show notes. And for everyone who's listening to this, go and follow Will and become his subscriber. Get the course, buy his course, and thank him later for all the skills you've learned once you make a ton of money. And Will, again, it was a pleasure talking to you. And thank you so much for being my guest.
No, thank you. It's been an honor and a privilege to be part of the show. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Profitable Graphic Designer podcast. But wait, before you go, If you enjoyed this podcast episode and want a chance to access one of our online courses for free, simply leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Each month, one lucky reviewer gets to pick a course as a token of our appreciation. And here's a reminder. We are here to help you build the design business of your dreams. Whether it's creating compelling proposals, attracting 10K clients, pricing your design services, improving your portfolio, reaching six figures and beyond, or helping you stand out, we've got you covered. I invite you to join over 1,000 designers in my signature 12-week program, The Profitable Designer. Visit aventiveacademy.com/profit. And also, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. That way, you'll be the first to know when each new episode drops so you never miss out on future content. Until next time, be sure to connect with us on Instagram at Aventive Academy, where we share valuable business tips, stories, and resources for brand, graphic, and web design business owners. Bye for now. Your host, Katie Sandell.